Paul will write to the Colossian church about submission, and he also writes to the church at Ephesus. So we want to look at what Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, kind of to discuss this. It's a subject that's probably not extremely popular. We don't talk about it. Nobody really likes to be in submission to much of anything. And probably one of our greatest challenges as Christians is submitting ourselves to Christ. It's probably where Satan attacks us the greatest is about serving self rather than submitting to Christ. Because really the first temptation in the garden is about what? About what's better for you, Adam and Eve. God told you this, but you'll be smarter, faster, better. You'll be like the $6 million man if you eat this fruit, right? Your eyes will be opened. You'll know good and evil. You'll be like God. And so they do. And so to be able to trust God and to submit to God's will is a challenge for all of us, and it is the foundation for all of our relationships. I'm going to say that again. Submission to Christ is the foundation for all of our relationships. If that peace is not in place, then all of our other relationships will struggle, will have difficulty if we cannot submit ourselves to Christ. And here's what's really important for us to hear and to know. It's not if everybody else around us is submitting right that our relationship, it is, am I submitting to Christ? Because that's the one choice that I get to make. Now, can I help in other ways? Yes. But I get to make the choice, am I going to be in submission to Christ? And it changes my whole perspective, and it changes my whole life. Let's begin our reading. Against that backdrop, don't forget that. Because here's how this whole passage starts. Really, it's a change of thought for Paul here, and it begins with submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. All right? Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It is about understanding Christ. It's about accepting His lordship. And then, are we willing to submit to each other out of a reverence for Christ? Out of our submitting to the will of God, are we willing to be in submission to one another? Because if it is all about me and mine, difficulties are coming. So we have to be willing to submit. All of us submitting to one another. And then he's going to talk about relationships and responsibilities. Relationships and responsibilities. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Gives the pattern for submission. Wives, submit to your husbands as submitting to the Lord. And he's going to use this same through several different types of relationships. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the body. His body, or his head of the church, his body for which he is the Savior. And he's establishing a marital relationship that certainly is unpopular in our culture. But the whole concept of male spiritual leadership is biblical, whether it's in the home or it's in the church, that there are differences in roles between men and women. And there's no way to read the scripture and not get that. Now, does that make one person better than another? It does. Does it make one person more intelligent than the other? No, it doesn't. It is just God's plan. And it's been God's plan from the beginning that of male spiritual leadership in the home, in the church. And so here's that relationship that he is establishing. I'll give you an example. At work, typically most all of us, there's some relationship within the workplace. Somebody has to ultimately be in charge. Can't everybody be in charge? Everybody can be talented. Everybody can make a part. But somebody has to help make the decisions. Now, is the person making the decision always the smartest? No. Some of you are going, are they ever the smartest? That's a whole nother. But the reason I say that is it doesn't mean that they are better than other folks. They may not be as talented in some areas, but they have that responsibility. And sometimes when that person retires or moves on, someone else in the organization the next day assumes that role. Does that mean the day before they were somewhat less of a person, less of an employee, less capable? No, their role, their responsibility was different. And the same thing is true in our relationships within home and church. It is the way God has it designed. And so wives are in submission to their husbands. But then as Christ is to, as the church is to Christ, right? We're all in submission. But then here comes the responsibility. And let's look at that. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. And the responsibility comes, so husband, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word. So what's the husband's responsibility? As Christ's responsibility was to the church, so is the husband's to his wife. To love her as and care for her as he does his own body. And to keep her holy and pure. And to be of service to his wife. That's the responsibility. To love and to care for one's spouse. I'm going to show my age. And most of you in here will remember. Some of you won't. The Archie Bunkers of the world don't grasp this concept. And he was caricaturish of racism and sexism and all of those things, which actually the actor was far from any of those, but that character was. And his relationship with Edith, if you will remember, was quite different. Because where was he? He was condescending. It was all about Archie. It was about, I'm coming home from work, and I'm going to sit in the chair, and Edith gets supper ready, and then I'm going down to the bar, and you're not intelligent, and our daughter's not intelligent, and the son-in-law for sure is not intelligent, right? Meathead, I believe, is the term. But we remember that character. But that's not the biblical pattern. That's not the biblical pattern. Is someone who is concerned about nurturing the whole family. We're going to see that in just a moment in the responsibility of children and parents, children and fathers. The same thing's true among husbands and wives. There is a role, a spiritual role and a leadership role that husbands play, and as Christians we should not apologize for it. But with that becomes the responsibility to love one's wife as you love yourself. To love one's wife as Christ loved the church. And what did Christ do? Christ, everything he did was in service to the church, right? To the point of giving his life. The point of giving his life. And that's the role that we're called to protect and to care for and to nurture our families. And it's biblical. And it's not about an inequality. It's about the differences in roles, and it's about responsibilities. And when we follow God's plan, things work. Because remember, God designed us. And I'm going to tell you, this is not a cultural thing. Sometimes it's argued, well, this was only the culture of the time. But from Adam and Eve, the relationship began there. And it is God's design and God's pattern. I'll go ahead and read. And to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle, without any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and he cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, the man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and those two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. We're going to move through this really quickly, but I want to bring up what we often struggle with. If everybody's loving and respecting, this is pretty easy. Where it really becomes difficult and where we fail as humans is respecting when someone doesn't act respectable. And that occurs. And so it, then it's about us being in service to God. And it's about loving wives when maybe we're disappointed in action. And I mean, that's the practical world we live in, because the ideal is not unattainable, but all of us have our warts. Every one of us. I don't know all of them, don't really want to know them, but I remember the John Conley song about the Friday Night Blues. It talks about, and the girl down the street says her husband is neat and makes it sound so true. That sounds great, but again, they've got their stroke. That is just part of life. And I'm going to tell you what, I believe with all my heart it is part of the curse. It is part of the curse. The struggle between in relationships, twist between men and women. Because if you look at what God says to Satan and to Eve, there is that struggle. But always remember, we're first and foremost in submission as men and women to whom? To Christ. Out of reverence for Christ. And remembering that and what God has done for us allows us then to be forgiving and to do the things that we ought to do. Because the fact of the matter is, sometimes we don't behave one way or the other as well as we should. And it's hard to be respectful, or it's hard to be respected when we don't act in that way. But that's what we should strive for. And my encouragement to all of us is, sometimes it's really hard to say I'm sorry and act I'm sorry. Sometimes we kind of start down a path and it's hard to change. Because we say, well, that's kind of who I am, and I'm not going to give in. Let's all admit it. There's a little stubbornness in most all of us. And as we think about this and pray about this and study over this, it's about us being submissive to Christ and being the wives that we should be and the husbands that we ought to be. And for those areas where many of us, all of us, have failed to some level, to try to reset that and to do better every day is an important thing. And for whichever side we find ourselves on, allowing our mate to reset is an important thing. Because sometimes we make it very difficult, don't we, for someone to change. We don't provide an environment for that. And it's really important for us to be forgiving and loving. Now, what about with our children? Children are to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with the promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Children, did you hear what that said? There is a promise. If you obey your parents, and it is a command from God, that there are blessings that come with that. But it is God's command that we are obedient to our parents. Sometimes we think that's an option. Sometimes we would never be disobedient to God, but we're disobedient to our parents. We would never be hateful to Christ, but we're hateful to our parents. We don't think about that. But Paul is telling us, and the Scripture says, right? God's commands are honor your father and mother. It is important. I think some of the children are too young. There's some kids here, though, I know that need to hear it. I'm pretty doggone sure. But we are to honor our parents. And I'll be honest with you, I think that honoring never changes. Never changes. That we should always honor our parents. But there has to be a healthy change, because we read in the preacher, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. There is healthy boundaries between parents and children when they establish their own homes. I mean, we have to have those boundaries, but I don't believe there's ever a time when we become disrespectful or we dishonor our parents. That's an important thing for us to do. So children are to obey their parents. But just like in husband and wives, here comes the responsibility. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Children are to obey their parents, but parents likewise then have a responsibility to do what? Not only to train them right, but don't frustrate them. Don't raise your children in such a way that they're frustrated, that you don't give them opportunity to grow and to mature. And so there's a responsibility for parents. Now, here's where it's very difficult. What if your parents aren't good? And that happens a lot. And I think that we should still honor our parents, but we have to draw the line that if our parents are ungodly and their instruction is contrary to the will of God, we have to be obedient to God. Just like Romans will tell us that we should submit to those who are in authority in the government, which would be courts and judges. But the apostles said to the judge, we have to do, you're ordering us not to preach, but we have to preach. That's what we have to do. The rule is we would be in submission, but you're asking us to do something contrary to what God would have us to do. We're always going to be obedient to God. And it's a great thing, hopefully, that those of us here don't have that situation with parents. But it can, but it's back to that. They're not always honorable, but we should honor and be obedient in every chance that we have. We've still got a minute or two. There's slavery in the Roman Empire. Lots of slaves. Millions of people enslaved in the Roman Empire. And we know there was even slavery among the children of Israel, because as we've been reading our daily Bible reading, as we read through the Pentateuch, through the first five books, it talks about slavery and how that works and how people are freed and how one can voluntarily continue to enslave themselves. And so it's often been said, well, what was the church's view on slavery? And I think when we look at the Christian view on slavery, I think the Apostle Paul and Jesus himself knew that to lead a rebellion would be death to lots of folks. But the teaching of Christianity abolishes the abuses of slavery when you are taught to respect other people as you would yourself and to love people as your brother. You will remember Paul actually writes a letter for Onesimus to go back to Philemon. And he says, I'm telling you, don't accept him back as a slave, but as a brother. And you're not going to abuse or mistreat a brother. But there's slavery there. So Paul says, how should slaves act? And while none of us are involved in slavery, we are involved where we are employed by someone. I think the principle is very much the same. And he says, slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Slaves, how are you to act? As if your master were Christ himself, that you were working for Christ. Don't just behave when they're watching, but do a good job always as if you were working for Christ. I think that principle is true for us as we are compensated for our time and knowledge working for somebody else. To work as if we were working for Christ himself. And to do a good job not only when the boss is looking, but always do the best that we can do. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. And I think this is certainly a lesson for those who would have had slave owners who were not kind, who were not benevolent, who were not Christian. But they were to serve as if they were serving for Christ. And, you know, the lesson here is all of us, out of reverence for Christ, submission to Christ, should live our lives even when it is difficult. Even when the folks on the other side aren't doing as they should, we should do as if we're serving Christ. And then here's the responsibility to masters, okay? We've got slaves are to do their very best if they're working for Christ. And to masters what? Treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. For all of us, who are we in submission to? Hopefully to Christ, but what if we're not? Let's just ask that question. Because here's what Paul's saying. Really, whether you're in submission or not, you should have the knowledge, those of you I'm writing to, that we have a master who is God. And whether we want to submit to that or not, we will eventually face him and will receive reward, slaves, for doing a good job. Even if your master doesn't recognize it, God will. And masters, if you mistreat slaves, remember God, who is over you, doesn't show favoritism. You'll get your just reward for that positive or for that mistreatment. So, masters, you have responsibility as slaves to treat them well, to treat them as if you would Christ. And he says, in the same way, masters treat slaves. Slaves, treat your master if you're working for Christ. Masters, treat those who are under you. Care for them as you would Christ. It's important. It's an important teaching. Again, it's kind of fallen out of favor, especially in family relationships. But it's really not that difficult. And it's not laborious, and it's not degrading. It's about all of us being submissive to one another, being reverent for Christ, and serving others as we would ourselves, serving others with their needs, and realizing that God is always watching. God is always watching, and we're always about doing our best. God always knows what's best, doesn't He? It's important for us to remember that, because with all the confusion that surrounds us about so many issues, God always knows what's best and what's right. And if we'll follow Him and have the attitudes that God teaches us, things always work out best, and we will be happier. It is the great mystery, really, that for those who are selfish and are always looking out for themselves, will find out that they lose. And for those who are willing to be concerned about others and caring about their well-being, always win. Always win. It seems illogical, but it is certainly truth. Christ did not think equality with God something to be held on to, but submitted Himself to the will of God and sacrificed Himself for us. If you need to respond to that, do so while we stand and sing.